question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And we are guest-free today, so that means we have our telephone lines open today. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open our program here today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray that you would bless the program. Pray that you would just help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching toward Christ, that they might be able to find him as their Lord and Savior. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless our time now. Use it for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. And like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have more information on that at the end of the program, but certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We have our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's an informal Bible study, and much like we do on the radio, give you a chance to bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We start at 7 o'clock, and we have refreshments, coffee, different things, and just a good time of fellowship as well. So we certainly invite you to come out for that. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5173 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's 5173 Brecksville Road in Richfield. The Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off the highway where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross right there, right next to where we meet. And we meet there, of course, on Sundays as well. We're there on Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of Colossians on Sunday morning. And then Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so we invite you to come out to our services there. If you don't have a church home, you're looking for a place that sticks with the Bible, and we'd like to invite you to come out and give us a visit. Well, as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and you can find out more about us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral as well. And wanted to mention too here that we've had a number of programs of late where we've had some guests. One in particular 2 weeks ago retired Lieutenant Army Colonel David Bors, and a lot of comments and some requests for some information on that. And you can find that at our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can click. There's a couple of columns there. It's still kind of set up old school, where it used to be set up in the traditional three-column fashion before everybody started setting things up for cell phones. One of these days we'll probably be able to do something regarding to that, but you can find it on there. It's called The Problem of Passive Pastors and Interfaith Deception, and that is available. We had a little hiccup getting it on, but we do have it on there, and I know some people wanted to know more about that program, so just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you'll see it there under Pastor Al's comments in the center. Under special program on the radio, you'll see it, The Problem of Passive Pastors and Interfaith Deception. And of course, all of our past programs, we do get them eventually listed on there. Down a little further down on the right-hand side, there is a listing of previous programs. And there's a bunch of other materials there as well. So let me encourage you to check out Live with Pastor Al.com. All right. Well, A reminder, too, that we are quickly coming up on the end of the month here. It's hard to believe, and it has been a soggy June. Just yesterday, it didn't seem like it was ever going to stop raining. And today, though, the sun came out, blue sky, a few little clouds floating around, comfortable temperatures, and it's actually not raining. That's like a news flash. You know, it used to, you turned on the news to see if it was going to rain. Right now, we got to turn on the news to see if it's going to be dry. And today is absolutely beautiful outside. So if you get the chance, get out and enjoy it. And hopefully, it'll last through the weekend like this. And I need a couple of days like this to dry the yard out so I can get out and mow it. It just seems like a never-ending battle this year. I don't know if I've ever seen as many lawnmowers stuck in the mud in people's yards as I have driving around this year. But, well, this is northeastern Ohio where we have weather. We say it's weather because you don't know whether it's going to be what the weatherman says or not. You don't know what it's going to be, whether it's going to be the same as when you looked out the window 5 minutes ago or not. It's just, it's weather. So, but, you know, the Bible tells us that God ultimately is in control. Somebody asked me, said, Pastor Al, do you think God might be trying to get a hold of our country, get a hold of our leaders and everything? And I said, well, it's a good possibility when we think about this, because the bad weather and being unusually wet and having problems with farmers getting their crops in the ground and all that does get people thinking and hopefully getting people turning back to God. And so with that, we need to pray for our country. We are obligated to pray for our leaders, pray for our country, pray for each other. And, you know, our nation has made a lot of progress in the last couple of years. We really have. I don't know if you saw the President Trump's re-election campaign kickoff in Orlando, Florida the other night, but he went over some of the things that they've done, and one of the things that he touched on was on the abortion issue. And if you've been following the news, the state of Missouri is coming up on being the first state since, I believe, 1974 to have no abortion clinics in the state. And this is something to be celebrated, the fact that Ohio now has a heartbeat bill, which says that abortions cannot be performed after the fetal heartbeat is detected. I believe there is an exemption for the safety or the life of the mother, and that's an exceedingly, exceedingly rare case. In most cases, if there's a problem with the mother's health and a threat to the mother, the pregnancy, and I know this, one of my sister-in-laws went through this, the pregnancy can be taken as long as it's possible for the safety of the mother, and then the object is not to end a human life, which is what abortion is. Most people, they try to say all kinds of things. Oh, it's a piece of tissue. It's a non-viable lump of cells or whatever. You know, it all gets around the fact that abortion is ending a human life. It is alive. It's a distinct human being. It's not the mother's body. You know, you always hear this, oh, you're a man. You can't say anything about abortion because you're a man. It's the woman's body, the woman's right to choose. I'm sorry, but what about the unborn baby? If that unborn baby is a male, well, how can you say that's the woman's body? It's got a XY chromosome complement, not a double X like women do. And so it's not the mother's body. That baby happens to temporarily reside within the mother's body, but is a distinct body. It is a distinct human being. It has its own distinct circulatory system. The baby's blood does not intermingle with the mother's blood. The mother's blood does not circulate into the baby. The mother's blood comes to a through the umbilical cord, and there's an interchange with the placenta where the mother's blood and the baby's blood come near each other. And this is a fascinating way that God created it, so that nutrients and waste products and oxygen and carbon dioxide can crossed the barrier between the mother's blood and the baby's blood, and the mother can provide the nutrients and the oxygen needed to the developing baby, and the baby can exchange the carbon dioxide and the waste products to the mother for her to get rid of. The baby is merely residing within the mother, and it is a separate human being. So unless you are that separate human being, you have no right to just end that life for no reason at all. But I digress a little bit. What I was going to say was, and in Missouri, and now has reached the point where they are closing down all of the abortion clinics that are there. And first time since Roe versus Wade became a court decision. And got to be careful that you don't say settled law, because the Supreme Court never makes laws. If they make a decision, it is not a law, despite the fact that people use the term settled law. And so the steps in protecting those unborn children that we're seeing here in Ohio's heartbeat bill. And, I digress from talking about my sister-in-law. Her pregnancy was carried along to the point where she was no longer safe to carry the pregnancy, and they delivered my niece prematurely, and they were able to keep her in the neonatal care unit, and she thrived, and she's a vibrant, healthy teenager today. And so the idea was not to take a human life. The object was to protect my sister-in-law's life. They carried my niece, her life, along in the womb as long as they could safely do it. And then when they had to, they removed her prematurely, but they made every effort to save her. The object was to save both lives, if at all possible. And this is quite the contrary, or the difference between what the Democrats are crying for. The Democrats want you to be able to end a human life. That's what abortion is. It's ending a life. There would be no argument if there wasn't a life to end. So they're ending a life, a human life. And they want to be able to end that human life right up until the very moment of birth and beyond. And when my niece was delivered prematurely, they did not stick her in a steel tray and set her aside and let her die crying, like happens on some cases, and like some Democrat politicians, mainly just about all of them that are running for president this time around. Many of them believe that you should decide whether or not that child should live even after it's been delivered. Well, that's just infanticide. They can call it post-birth abortion or whatever they want to call it. It's simply infanticide, and we need to take a stand against these things. And President Trump has done that, but we see this in our world today, in our country today, that many people still taking a strong stand that abortion on demand up until the very moment of birth and beyond, post-birth abortion, infanticide. And I think God's trying to get our nation's attention and to try and get us to turn back to Him. Our nation's been given much. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And we have had opportunities, blessings, and things unlike any other country in history when we consider what God has done in these United States of America. So pray for your leaders. We're in that presidential election season now, and whoever becomes president next year is going, or is elected, 2020 will be the election. They won't take office, of course, until January of 21. But whoever occupies the Oval Office is going to have direct impact on who sits in the courts and who is allowed to make these decisions regarding the constitutionality of laws, and make decisions that can protect life or go against life, protect our religious freedom of religious expression and everything here in this country. So we definitely need to have somebody in that Oval Office that's going to fall on the side of godly principles. Now, is President Trump perfect? Absolutely not. He bowing to political pressure, probably because, you know, from his background and everything, it wasn't as big a deal to him as it may be to us and our listeners. He signed, you know, the proclamation for the Pride Month for the LGBTQ alphabet soup community. And, that was a mistake on his part, I believe. And he resisted doing that last year, but he did it this year. And will I throw him under the bus because of that? Absolutely not. Because, if Hillary Clinton had become president, you can just bet she would have signed that each year. And, of course, we know that President Obama had a soft spot for the homosexual community. And we weren't going to get into that portion right now, but as a consequence, we have seen some strong developments there. For instance, the military under the Clinton years, because it used to be in the military that if somebody was found to be homosexual, they were ushered out of the military. I remember when I was in the Air Force, we had a group of guys that they were all sharing the same apartment, and they did not have a separate bedroom for each one, and they were found out. First thing happened is they lost their security clearances. At that time, if you had a high security clearance and you were suspected of that, the clearance was pulled. They lost their clearance, and then shortly after that, they were sent back to the United States. I was stationed in England at the time, and they were booted out of the Air Force. Well, then they went in the Clinton years. That was in the 1980s in the Reagan era. When Bill Clinton came along, he instituted the don't ask, don't tell policy. And essentially, homosexuals could serve in the military as long as they didn't say anything about it. Nobody's allowed to ask them about it. And then that lasted until, of course, President Obama come along and tried to insinuate that that was somehow discriminatory, and he allowed for homosexuals to openly serve in the military. Then he took it a step further, transgendered, and he allowed transgenders into the military. Now, there's a whole host of people who cannot serve in the military. Had a friend of mine when I was in high school. He wanted to go into the Navy, and in basic training, he developed some problems with his feet, with his ankles. He was not able to march effectively, and they released him from the Navy during basic training. He was very disappointed about that. He was not allowed to serve because he had bad feet. There's countless other people who, due to asthma, due to maybe a heart murmur, having some other thing that might seem relatively inconsequential. Remember in times past, he used to talk about flat feet, and they were unable to serve in the military. And now the reason for that is that in the military, you are supposed to be in relatively good physical shape conditions so that you can be deployed to various parts of the world at a moment's notice, and hopefully you can go where you need to go. You can carry a pack on your back to get into where you need to go to if necessary. In some cases, jump out of an airplane with a pack on your back. Various things that you're called need to be able to do. And if you're somebody who is chronically sick, chronically in and out of the hospital, with some type of an illness or malady or whatever, if you're somebody that is on medications that it would be hard to provide if you were on a battlefield or some remote area of service, you are not going to be able to perform your duty. And when you put somebody in the military that's transgendered, well, this was nothing more than social engineering at its worst. And of course, it was also a way of pandering to people, because this allowed for transgendered to come into the military to get their medication, to get their hormone treatments, and to get surgeries at government expense. Now, when we say government expense, whose expense are we talking about? Talking about your expense and my expense, because government expense comes from our tax dollars. And so people were going in so they get that. Well, here's the problem. You bring somebody in that's transgendered, and in the process of their conversion therapy, treatments, surgeries, drugs that they have to take, hormones that they have to take, they are not fit for military service much of the time because they're recuperating from surgeries. They cannot be deployed because they're dependent on constantly taking various types of drugs and hormone treatments and all that. They're simply not deployable. And just like somebody with severe asthma, or perhaps somebody with a heart murmur or whatever, like I've talked about. And so as a consequence, they should not be in the military. And so thankfully, President Trump has gotten them out of the military. He's removed the thing of bringing transgendered in. I think there's still some in, and as they leave, by attrition, there'll be no more. But these are some of the successes. And then, of course, our economy. You know, the growth rate of our economy, which directly helps people. And because of people that are employed, historic low unemployment among blacks and Hispanics, and just the employment rate dropping dramatically, people going into the workforce that had been completely out of the workforce and had given up. And all these things are helping people directly, and these are good things. And then, you know, the other thing, and I had touched on it a little bit with the courts, is that President Trump has been able to put more people on the courts than any other president in history. And we're starting to see some effects from this. The Supreme Court, I believe, I hope I don't have this wrong, I believe it was a 7-2 decision, just allowed to remain standing a World War I memorial in New Jersey. And it's a 94-year-old cross that has a shape, as a cross-shaped memorial. It's on public land, and it's the 40-foot Blandensburg World War I Veterans Memorial, often called the Peace Cross. And the anti-God ACLU, people for the the freedom of religion and things like this, a lot of these anti-Christ, anti-Christian, God-hating organizations have been trying to get rid of this. And yet this is considered a memorial for those that died in World War I. In fact, Justice Samuel Alito wrote for the majority, the cross is undoubtedly a Christian symbol, but that fact should not blind us to everything else that the Blandenburg cross has come to represent. For some, that monument is a symbolic resting place for ancestors who never returned home. For others, it is a place for the community to gather to honor all veterans and their sacrifices for our nation. For others still, it is a historical landmark. And so he wrote that to tearing down the cross, the Blandenburg cross, could be viewed or construed as an unconstitutional, hostile act toward religion. He went on to say, for many of these people, destroying or defacing the cross that has stood undisturbed for nearly a century would not be neutral and would not further the ideals of respect and tolerance embodied in the First Amendment. For all these reasons, the cross does not offend the Constitution. And of course, that 7-2 decision, guess what? President Trump put two people on the court, didn't he? And we're even seeing the Ninth Circuit Court, the most liberal of the circuit court. So just upheld Trump's, I'm going to lose my train of thought here, I believe it was a ban on monies, federal monies going to fund abortions and things. And so there's a number of things that are happening in the courts and through the courts that are tremendous because of the justices and judges that Trump has been able to appoint. Well, we're out of time. Continue to pray for our country, pray for our president, and God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.